Time to talk to Brian Ross. It's time for Real News. Brian joins us on a Thursday morning. We take a look at some of the stories that are floating around out there. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning to you, Marshall.
You know, Barry, a very interesting couple of days for President Joe Biden the past couple of days.
I'll say, and he's scrambling as his approval ratings seem to have slipped and then bounced back up, scrambling to take on the supply chain kinks that are threatening Christmas presents, I guess. It's all his fault. Still trying to deal with a couple of recalcitrant Democrats who won't go along with the agenda. Plus, you know, a host of other issues. You wonder why someone would want to be president given all this. But, you know, these are probably the weakest days so far in his still young administration.
Well, I like the fact what he's doing with private industry in trying to release the bottleneck. I mean, the Port of Los Angeles, if they can, and also the unions going along with it, if they can go, and they've gone to 24-hour round-the-clock work, that's 40% of the goods that come into the country. So, I mean,
right.
but the whole thing about the supply chain is he can make it better in the United States a little bit, but you can't make it better because I found this out with my car. I mean, I had a computer chip go bad, and it took almost 3.5 weeks to get it in and get it fixed, and so what we do here can cure the bottleneck here, but the bottleneck, which is all over the world, the United States president can't handle, and I think. Industry is going along with him on this. I know that most of the major retailers and Amazon and other ports now are being asked to do the same thing. But, you know, what effect it's going to have? Well, Americans have to stop. I hate to say this, but if you buy on Amazon, it comes from China. It doesn't matter if you order it from somebody in America that's listing on Amazon. They're getting their goods from China. So
a lot does, right.
You know, people have
But one of the things, Marshall, that has taken place is called the just-in-time delivery status, where nobody has a stockpile of anything. It comes and ships, you know, immediately. When it got disrupted because of the pandemic, to get it back in smooth operations has taken some time, and there are backlogs. And part of the things we hear from truckers and others, it takes sometimes days to get unloaded because the weakest link in this chain, the supply chain, are sometimes lowly paid warehouse workers who haven't come back. And so it's taken a long time, and there are backlogs there. And part of the problem, of course, is maybe we have to pay more for workers. You know, good for them. That's one of the problems. But also it strikes me that is it really fair to be blaming the President of the United States that there's not going to be Christmas presents?
No, of course it's not, but it's politics. It's the way politics has turned has turned into. I mean, blaming the president for Christmas presents instead of working on major bills that could put people back to work, that could help our infrastructure and more. That's where our politics sits right now.
You're
more concerned about Christmas presents than the infrastructure bill and putting money into the economy. And that just drives me crazy. And it's not just a Republican problem. There's some Democrats that are there, too.
Without a doubt. But, you know, some of these narratives, as you take a look at them from a distance, you just wonder why our buddies in the media go down that road. Is that really the most important thing going on? A lot of this gets spun up, I have to say, from Fox News and takes over into the mainstream. A lot of those questions there. And it's just strikes me as way off base.
You know, it is, and I always say this, even though we are on Facebook, we are on Instagram, we're on social media as a radio station, simply because we have to, that doesn't help the problem either, because, you know, I'll put it this way, whenever there's a COVID case in the Region 1 school district, our superintendent, Lisa Carter, who is just a great superintendent, and the administration, they issue a press release. And so I put the press release on, a shortened press release, mentioning where the COVID cases are and how it's not going to affect school or how it's going to affect school. People say to me, Marshall, you're just trying to drum up support for vaccinations. And I said, you don't understand the purpose of news. No, the superintendent doesn't want people talking and spreading things on social media about COVID cases. So they release the information so everybody knows, and they don't have to get it from
social
media.
Absolutely, absolutely.
You know,
that's how it's supposed to work.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly how it's supposed to work. But people get away from that. Well, we'll get away from Biden for just a second, and you know, look at what's happening in Beirut: 3 dead due to a gunfight, and the gunfight was because people. It's the start of investigating about that big explosion, if you remember, that happened in Beirut. You know, that's an amazing story.
And that place is falling apart once again. You know, it was once considered the Paris of the Middle East. You know, beautiful sort of buildings there. I've been there myself, but they cannot get along. And you know, that explosion, which was so devastating, they really still have not recovered from that.
Well, we'll go from that explosion to Steve Bannon. and the other people who are being subpoenaed by the January 6th panel. I don't know how he can claim executive privilege, because at the time of those things happened, he wasn't working for the White House, and the president is no longer in office. I don't know if these three people or other people, if the Congress has enough guts to send them to jail for not replying to the subpoenas.
Well, they refer it to the Department of Justice if the committee says yes, and the committee, including Republicans, apparently will refer to the full House floor, and if the full House approves it, it's sent to the Justice Department for prosecution. And the Democrats have the votes, not by a huge majority, but they have the votes if they want to, and that'll be the showdown. You know, you have to wonder, what is it that they're afraid of coming out that, they won't testify, that Trump has urged them all not to talk about. I guess there is the larger principle that officials of the government giving advice to the president, there is executive privilege. Steve Bannon was not an official of any, he had no government post whatsoever, just an outside advisor, outside troublemaker.
Yeah, it's an interesting case in point to look at, and there's so many more people that are going to have to be subpoenaed. I can't wait till they subpoena the pillow guy, what he's going to say, whether he's going to claim executive privilege. No, really, it's, you know, Washington somehow has just become this almost like a cartoon center with some of the things that come out of Washington. It's just amazing.
I'll say, and really, you know, what is it they are afraid of coming out? We thought we knew kind of what happened there, but clearly we don't know all that happened behind the scenes on January 6th and January 5th and January 4th. And these people, they have the ability to reveal what happened there. And so they've also subpoenaed the Justice Department official who tried to create his own coup within the Justice Department for him to also testify. And the Biden administration so far has said, we will not assert executive privilege. You know, they got to be careful about that, because down the road, that could undercut the overall status of the executive privilege, you know, which is a useful thing, because you want the advisors of the president to be able to give advice freely without having it on the front page of the newspaper.
You know, we carry BBC News here as well as NPR News, and when I wake up in the morning, besides Googling and stuff like that, one of the stories, once again, in Norway, a bow and arrow suspect who killed people. He was known by police, and he became a terrorist when he converted to Islam. And, you know, this is such a slap in the face when you see all these stories to Islam, because Islam itself is not supposed to be a violent religion, but just different offsets and different rules. And every time something like this happens, once again, it raises a specter of outrage of Americans against Islam, even though this didn't happen in this country.
Well, you know, religious extremists distort the religion and distort the message, whether it's with Islam or Christianity or even, you know, sometimes the Middle East, the Jewish faith. The distortion of the religious message leads them to justify and rationalize, you know, acts of violence. And, you know, no religion really exhorts or puts forward that violence is an answer to any problem. And we see extremists, all around the world. There's an ugly trend there, and it's people are feeling, I guess, disassociated. They're feeling on their own, and they've turned to a distorted view of their religion to give them reason to act out.
All right. Now, I have to go to the story because yesterday I didn't feel well, so I went home early, and I had the TV on, which I very rarely do, and I was flipping channels, and for about an hour and a half, it was all about Blue Origin and William Shatner going up for his 16-minute ride into space and down. Now, I'm not against Jeff Bezos and all these other rich people doing this. I think of the exploration and the opening up of suborbital plane rides, and I think it's all great for the future. But what I just don't understand, and it wasn't just CNN. Every network, except for CBS, I'll say, except for CBS, did this hour and a half coverage of basically what was a 15-minute flight. I know we live in amazing times. I know it's hard to believe that a 90-year-old man without any training or anything can get into a capsule and fly into space and come back, but is it really worth an hour and a half of news coverage?
Well, it's only worth it if people are watching, and that's what the network bosses would say. If people are going to watch, we're going to do it. And because they're not making judgments on what's more important, they're not covering certain congressional hearings about what's going on. They're choosing to do that. Shatner, he talked longer about the experience than the actual experience took place.
He certainly did. He certainly did.
Going on and on and on and on. Gee.
And they kept it on.
At some point, you say, hey, man, we get it.
Hey, Brian, I used to work for a very short period of time because it wasn't the job I liked. I used to work at a TV station, and I was a stage manager. And so when we were covering things like that, and someone was out in the field on a live thing, and you had your headphones on, and I would constantly hear, this is back in 1970, 71, I would constantly hear the director in my earphones talking to the reporter in the field saying, wrap it up. Too much information obscures the good information. And I think we need more directors like that in the networks.
Well, one of the hardest things to achieve is concision. It takes somebody with some brains and some thoughts to take a lot of information and pack it into a few sentences so you make it clear. You have to know a lot to say a little, but sometimes there's just this verbiage. And frankly, on some of the cable channels, they have so much time to fill that it's the opposite. They let them just go on and on and on, and the talk is cheap. Reporting is not so cheap, but the talk is cheap, and that's why you get what you get on that cable news.
All right, one final thing that I want to make a note on, because despite all the troubles President Biden is going through right now, I think it's great. He's making a major push for offshore wind power. You've got offshore wind power. You've got the winds that constantly blow. These are things that we have to look at and investigate as Americans. And once again, the minute he mentions this, the people pop up against it. I'm just amazed.
It is amazing, and a lot of them are the people that mine coal and use oil. And they are trying to fight against this because they can see the future. It's not looking good for their industry, but it seems a folly to me. I think that the goals of reducing carbon emissions are so important and so difficult. This is one first step. They're going to identify certain areas which are essentially federal waters and allow private companies to build windmill farms, essentially, and pump the electricity from offshore. And it's it's quite feasible to do that. The winds offshore are blowing all the time. I think the first real test project is going to be one around Martha's Vineyard, which they fought long and hard, and finally have the wind power supporters have prevailed.
Well, you look at the situation as a whole, and no one's talking about the infrastructure package anymore, and that's indeed a sad thing.
Well, it is, and Senator Kristen Sinema, who is at the heart of it, is over in Europe raising money for her campaign. So you wonder about the priorities she's been the most difficult one to read. She won't talk to reporters, won't talk to people in her own Congress, in the Senate, only will talk to the White House. And she's made it clear, I know what I want. But what she wants, or most important and the biggest stumbling block, is she's against these efforts to lower the cost of prescription drugs. She has received huge donations from the pharmaceutical industry, and she is blocking it. She's the obstructionist right now. And I think there's already talk in Arizona of running a Democratic candidate against her in 2024 when she's up for re-election.
Well, all I think, what I think of her is, I think these horrible big pharma commercials that are on TV now, absolutely full of lies. And how you're allowed to do that, I have no idea. I have no idea.
Well, you say lies, but, you know, it's distorted, but, you know, there's a grain of truth in all of that. And yes, they do need to have a profitable business to do the kind of research to develop new drugs. But, you know, the scale here is so much different, and the fact that they could bring down costs by billions of dollars a year, which means cost to each of us much less, you know, seems like a worthy goal, supported by most people except for Senator Sinema.
Amazing time we live through, Brian. We'll see what happens.
Well, you know what, Myron? We're living through it. We're in a historical era, and I don't think history will look back kindly on those who have obstructed what's going on, who oppose wind farms, who oppose pre-K universally. I think history in the future will look unkindly at those people.
And to the columnists that I see write about that they want Joe Biden to stop his laid-back presidency, I don't. We had 8 years of anything but a laid-back presidency, and I think we need it. We need a laid-back presidency now.
I'm enjoying it.
All right, Brian, we'll speak to you next week.
Absolutely.
Take care. Brian Ross and Real News here on Robinhood Radio. You can always find it on demand at robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand, click on Real News with Brian Ross.